Welcome to New City's Sermon Podcast. Join us as we root deep in God's Word, expecting to be encouraged, challenged, and formed to be more like Jesus together. Let's get into the scriptures now.
Well, I'm glad that you're here tonight. Whether you're part of New City or whether you're visiting or whether you have no idea what you think about the Christian faith, we're glad that you're here. Really, what we celebrate this weekend in the death and resurrection of Jesus is the core of what it means to believe as a Christian, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, and then 3 days later, he was risen from the dead by the power of God. And if you want to hear more about the resurrection, come back Sunday. To be quite honest with you, dead people don't come back from the dead, right? And that's why what we believe is both crazy and powerful. But we'll talk more about that on Sunday. We're going to be reading from Luke 23, verses 32 through 49. And Chris is going to come over and read for us.
Luke 23. Two other criminals were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing. "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription was above him, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon. The darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous." All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home, striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. This is the word of the Lord.
My family has a tradition every Holy Week. We watch these videos that they're movies of different gospels. So they have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's a narration of the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John. There's 4 of them. And then the actors act it out in the background as the narrators narrate it over them. And it doesn't sound good, but it actually is really well done. It's very visually stimulating. Even in the background, you can hear the actors using Aramaic and Hebrew. And it's just a really well done video explaining each of the Gospels. And so each Holy Week, we pick a different Gospel. This year, we're doing Luke with the family because that's what we've been looking at a little bit more on Sunday evenings. And today, we watched the crucifixion. And what's interesting about the scene is that Jesus goes to trial and he starts to get beat. And then there's this break where you don't know that he's now on the cross. And in the way that the movie is done, the cross, it's like you're looking at the cross and then the cross just is lifted up and Jesus's face is coming towards you and he's kind of this bloody mess. And it just gets you because it's gruesome. It's not pleasant to look at. My little one had to cover her eyes just because it's shocking. And I want you to imagine for a moment that maybe you're there and you're watching Jesus be lifted up. And the question for you is, what do you see? Of course, you see a gruesome, bloody mess. The crucifixion was a terrible way to die. It was a devised by the Romans to torture people to death. It was not pleasant at all. But what do you see as you look up there and you see this man on the cross in between two other people? Well, Luke tries to give us some hints of two different things that we should see. The first is that as we look at the three people on the cross, we should realize that one up there is not like the others. Did you ever play that children's game where you looked at several different pictures and you're to look at like which one's not like the other one? Well, Luke's going out of his way to tell us that one of these people on the cross is not like the others. Three are dying as criminals, but one is innocent. Three are dying as criminals, but one is not guilty. And we hear this even in Jesus' words. As Jesus' enemies are lifting him up to the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's incredible to think about in our age where everyone wants to hold everyone else accountable for the smallest error they make. Jesus is forgiving them because he believes they don't know the mistake that they're making. What's interesting is Jesus, as the founder of a religion, is actually living out his teaching all the way to death. If you study the founders of religions, it's often not pretty. They don't always practice what they preach, and it can actually be kind of gross. But here we have Jesus being lifted up on the cross, dying as a sinless person, and yet living up to his teaching, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do, because he had taught his disciples to forgive his enemies. He practiced what he preached, even unto death. He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't a sinner. He was innocent. He had never done anything wrong. And we see this when the centurion sees Jesus die and the way he dies on that Roman cross. That centurion had probably seen dozens die, maybe hundreds die on the cross. But when he sees Jesus die, he says, this man really was righteous. One up there was not like the others. Jesus was not a criminal. He was the sinless Son of God. When you look up on that cross, see that one is not like the other. But secondly, see that he chose to go up there. This wasn't an assassination. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't Jesus let things get out of control. Jesus had planned to go to Jerusalem and die in this gruesome way. Now, the people couldn't see it. Chris read the passage where he said that they were scoffing. Him being up there meant there's no way he's like us down here. He has to be a criminal if he's up there, because he's the one who said he was the chosen one, and yet he was chosen to die. He is the one who said he was a savior, and he can't save the criminals on the cross, and he can't even save himself. But what the scoffers miss is this is no accident. He chose to go up there. This was a voluntary sacrifice that he made. He's in absolute control over dying for you and for me. Have you ever had someone actually die for you? I've had some friends who have donated organs for other friends, but I've never had someone actually die for me. Today is Vietnam Veterans Day, and my dad is a Vietnam veteran, and so this story always comes to mind to him. That when he was in Vietnam on December 2nd, 1969, his company was out on patrol. And my dad, you guys know Dan, my dad was the radio guy. And that meant that he was very important. He had to be kept alive, because if he got hurt, the radio went down, they would have no communication with their base. And as his company was walking, they walked into an ambush. And my dad was on the radio with the other platoon that was in front of him. And all of a sudden, he heard the jungle erupt, gunfire, explosives, all sorts of things. And his commanding officer, Lieutenant Robert Lacey, grabbed the radio from my dad and took a couple other guys and ran towards the battle. And as Lieutenant Lacey was running towards the battle, he saw that there was an enemy soldier with a rocket-propelled grenade pointed at a guy named Bernie who had picked up my dad's radio. And he was going to try and take out the radio guy. Because if you take out the radio guy, they have no connection. There's no help. They're in trouble. And Lieutenant Lacey jumped in front of the rocket-propelled grenade and took it so that the radio guy could be saved, so that they could stay connected to the base, so that they wouldn't suffer. He took it and absorbed the blow. And Lieutenant Lacey would die that day. He died a couple hours later, saving his platoon. He absorbed the blow. He took death so that others could live. To think about it, if Lieutenant Lacey hadn't done that, then it's possible my dad would not have made it out of that. And it's possible I wouldn't be here. And then it's possible that you wouldn't be here because we wouldn't be gathered for this. That's a very real example. That brings something into my heart when I think about someone dying for me. But in the very same way, none of us would be here if Jesus hadn't died for us. If Christ hadn't absorbed the blow. If he hadn't gone to the cross voluntarily for you and for me, we wouldn't be here as the beloved people of God, the ones who God cherishes. Jesus chose to sacrifice himself by absorbing the wrath of God. This is why in the story it says that there's darkness that covers the land when Jesus dies, because at that moment, God is pouring out all his anger against your and my sin on his son. That's the moment when Jesus jumps in front for you and for me, so that we don't have to absorb the wrath of God against sin. And at that very moment, the curtain tears. The curtain in the temple that separated the place where God lived in the temple from the people. And it didn't tear from bottom to top, meaning that man tore it. It tore from top to bottom, meaning that God tore it. Saying that now that Jesus has absorbed the blow, now that he's volunteered his life, we now have access to a holy God, even though we're unholy people. When we place our faith in Christ, who absorbed the blow of God's wrath against sin, we're fully cleansed. All of our sin, past, present, future, is paid for by his bloody death on the cross. And one day, you and I will just be like that criminal on the cross who put our faith in him. One day, even as Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. One day, we will be with Jesus in paradise. And we'll be able to look at him and we'll be able to say, if you hadn't jumped in front of the blow, if you hadn't taken the blow for me, we wouldn't be here in heaven with you. But he did that for you. He knows all your brokenness. He knows all your half-heartedness. He knows how you try and love God and you constantly fall short. And he still took the blow for you because he loves you. So I just want to end with the same question. In your mind's eye, as you see Jesus being raised up on the cross, that gruesome, bloody Roman cross, what do you see up there? The centurion said, surely this is the Son of God. The criminal said, surely this man is innocent. What do you see in this Good Friday, with your spiritual eyes? Jesus is not like us, yet he chose to die for us because he is the sinless Savior. I want to invite you just to reflect for a moment, and then I'd like to lead us in the Lord's Supper. Would you mind just closing your eyes for a moment? Just take a moment even to recognize Christ's love for you and taking the blow for you. Let that sink into your heart just for a minute, that he sees you, he loves you, he knows your frailty and your sin, and yet he still chose to go for you. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. We praise you as the one who paid our debt. We know, Lord, we don't always fully get it. We know we struggle to believe. We know we often have doubts, yet you didn't wait for us to get perfect faith before you chose to die for us. Rather, it's in looking at the cross afresh tonight that our faith is strengthened, that we see that our sin has been paid for. And as we see that, we have new courage to turn away from it and follow you. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. And all God's people said, amen.
We're so glad you joined us to root deep in God's word. If you found this sermon encouraging, share it with a friend. If you want more information on our church, search www.newcityfellowship.church or go to social media and look up New City Fellowship Church. We'll see you next week.